You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast, recorded live at our Manchester campus. For more information, visit audaciouschurch.com.
Isaiah chapter 43, and I apologize, not in advance, in the past, all those watching online hearing me sing and in the campuses hearing me, here you can get away with it because there's a lot of noise, but if you just hear me singing, it's good, but not amazing. God thinks it's good, but Glenn's a very good man. He beat me in darts, 2-0, and that'll be the first time ever in his life he beat me in anything. Humbly speaking, Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18 and 19, Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18 and 19, I'm not texting here, I am just using my own Bible. By the way, the Bible is, you have the paper Bible, but you also have the electronic Bible, and this should be used more for the things of God than anything else. You don't have to sneak this into China anymore. You can just download it. Remember, you had people trying to sneak Bibles across borders? You don't have to anymore. It's all in cyber system. It's amazing. Isaiah 43, verse 18, it says, therefore, no, it doesn't say that. It says, behold, I am doing a new thing. Now, if it springs forth, do you not perceive it? That I'll make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. That's a pretty cool scripture. It says, remember not former things, nor consider things of old. Therefore, I am doing a new thing. I'm here to declare and decree to you this morning, Audacious Church. I believe the word of the Lord is that God is about to do a new thing in your life. But the problem is when God wants to do a new thing, people don't perceive it, so they don't receive it. Because what you perceive is you receive from. And it says, it goes on and it says, forget not or remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. That word forget is from the Hebrew word zakah, and that basically is saying not allowing controlling influences of the past to have any control or hold of you now and into the future. That can be good and that can be bad things. You know, the good of the past can sometimes control our progression to our future because we're always looking back at how it was. And it becomes a controlling of what God wants to do. But so can the bad of the past. And you know, I've discovered in life, you get hurt. Welcome to life. The very first thing they do to a baby that is coming out of the womb is they inflict pain on it. A baby's in this nice cocoon, nice and warm, doesn't have to do anything, and all of a sudden there's a push into a great big white light, and then they slap that baby to see if it's alive. Very first thing a baby will experience is some pain and then love. And that's like life. You experience love and pain, pain and love. And it's how you deal with pain is whether you obtain or perceive a new thing. When Isaiah is speaking to the children of Israel at this point, God is prophesying to the people in exile. They had lost everything. They only had the clothes on their back. They had lost everything. And they would have remembered the stories of Egypt, how they got out of Egypt. But all they had experienced was slavery their whole life. So in the context of the prophet turning up and saying, God is going to do a new thing, with what? They have nothing to do a new thing with. So many of us are looking for the thing for God to do the new thing with. But God doesn't need a thing, he just needs him. And he says, forget, don't allow the past to control you. Don't let the past be like when you're driving in a car, there's two pieces of glass before you. There's a little one called a rear vision mirror, and there's a big one called the windscreen. And too many people live their life looking in the rear vision mirror, and they wonder why they're crashing all the time. Because they're not looking forward, they're looking back. You come to a church, you got hurt by in church life, and you're always looking back. So you want to get involved, but then that same feeling happens around you, and so you look back again, and you go nowhere, and you crash, and you go, well, I crashed in that church, I'll go to another church. But because you're living in the rear vision mirror, you never step into the new. These people had been in slavery, they'd been exiled, they'd never experienced the goodness of God. And God steps in and says, I'm going to do a new thing. I'm here to encourage you today. Do you perceive that God is doing a new thing? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new thing has come. What's the new thing? You in Christ. So whenever you're in Christ, you're always in the new. You're in Christ, you're in the new. So if God's going to do a new thing, he's not, the word there, new thing, is hadash, which in the Hebrew, it's not talking about chronological newness. You're not going from 2024 and at New Year's Eve, you're saying, God, my goal for this year is this, and I want you to do a new thing. God isn't controlled by chronological time. He's outside of time. He is the Alpha and he is the Omega. He's not turning a page when he says he's doing a new thing. It's his desire to do a new thing. What is a new thing? You and I living, it's not an occasion. A new thing is an occasion. A new thing is an identity. So when I'm in Christ, I'm a new creation. My identity is now new. I'm in Christ. So I'm new. That means I can have new songs. That means I can have new mercies every morning. That means I can have new revelation. That means I can go from glory to glory. Why? Because of my education? No, because I'm in Christ. I'm new. And when you understand you're in Christ and you're new, then you embrace the new. The new. Revelations chapter 21 verse 5 says, behold, I make all things new. In Ezekiel 36, 26, and I'll give you a new heart and a new spirit, and I will put it within you. And I'll remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. This is the new person you become. Lamentations, I quoted before, the steadfast love of the Lord never, 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 never. Well, why am I going through this? Because your perception has been impacted by your environment, not your identity. So you're facing a troop and you're facing a wall. But when you're in Christ, you can run through a troop and leap over a wall. When you're facing Jericho, when you're in Christ, you can just hear what he tells you to do and you shout and the walls don't fall backwards, they fall forwards because you're new. The Bible says, sing to him a new song, for he has done marvelous things. Why does God want us to sing a new song? Because he's constantly doing new things. These passages emphasize God's nature as a creator of the new beginnings, of transformation, of renewal in both physical and spiritual terms. You see, he's saying in verse 18, but forget all that, he's saying the great victory from the Egyptians, you think I'm going to do a great thing, well, I don't want you to compare it to Egypt because this won't compare. You've had greatness as a church. This building is a miracle that happened, but what God is going to do in the future, what God is going to do in the future won't compare to the miracle. When the miracle first happened, you go, how can it get any bigger than this? How can it get any better than that? The reason it can get bigger and better, because God is bigger and better, and my identity is in him. So you'll be like, yes, each step of the journey, I honor and I thank God for, but I can't live in how I got this building. I got to live in how I'm going to get the next level. I can't live in how I got that relationship. I got to live in what God's going to do through that relationship. I'm speaking prophetically this morning. It's nothing compared to what I'm going to do. For I will make, watch this, I'll make pathways. Oh, I feel the anointing right now. I will make pathways through the wilderness. Some of us are faced with wilderness. And you know, the truth is there's facts and truth. Facts are real, but truth is the ultimate reality. And a wilderness is a fact, but the truth is he'll make a pathway through the wilderness. And there are people, and you've been in a dry place, in a wilderness place for too long because you've just settled in the wilderness and not perceived that there's a promised land for you. You know it in your intellect. You know it. You can quote a scripture about it, but you're not perceiving it to receive it. There was only two of the 12 spies that perceived that the newness was there for them. 10 of them settled in wilderness living. 2 of them said there's a pathway to the abundant life. And it's the 2 that opened up the nation. The 10 killed a generation in the wilderness. Why? Because they let their condition determine their position. God hasn't called you to live conditionally, he's called you to live positionally. See, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that I and you are an heir of God. That we are an heir. What is an heir? An heir possesses. I have children. They don't wait till I die to get my money. They possess it today. Trust me, my daughter texted me today, Dad, I need to hang my TV. Which really is basically saying, can you pay for it? And I said, yes, I could do that. See, she knows her dad is rich enough to... I remember my son when he was like 4. We had an SUV. I don't know why we had an SUV, but we had an SUV. And I was feeling that... What do you do when you first get a new car? You wash it a lot. Then after a while, McDonald's becomes part of the leather is covered by McDonald's wrappings, and stuff like that. But at the beginning, you keep it pristine, clean. And I remember going through a car wash one time and my son was there and he goes, oh, what's this button? And showers came in. So blessings came to him. So a few days later, I'm in the car with him and I'm filling up the car with petrol. That's what you call it here, right? Petrol? Yeah, because we're English. We're not American. Gas. Yeah, praise God. Glory to God. There it is. Ma, ma, ma. We speak English. And English has you in favor. Who would want to take you out of favor? Anyway. Just saying, Donald. And I'm filling up the car. And my son presses the button again. He's sitting there as I'm filling it. He goes, Dad, lollipop. I'm like, no problem, Jonathan. Because he knows his dad's rich enough for a lollipop. No problem, Jonathan. But he doesn't think I have listened to him. So he says, Dad, lollipop. I said, no, I heard you, son. Lollipop, I got you. Lollipop, Dad. He keeps going on, lollipop. I said, stop being like your mum. No, I'm joking. It's a joke. And I said, no problem, Jonathan. Stay in the car. I'll just quickly go in and pay. And this 3-4-year-old boy, while I'm paying, has opened the door, walked across the service station, and he's standing in the place I'm paying. So he goes, Dad, where's my lollipop? I'd already bought him one, and I'd bought him two. See, he understood he was my son. He didn't come begging and crawling and go, please, Dad. Oh, please, oh, great father, one with no hair. Would you please come? No, he was my son. So he entered boldly into my presence because he knew he was my son. He had identity and he knew that there was a lollipop waiting for him. Let me suggest to you that as easy was for me to buy a lollipop, it's far more easier for our Father, who has no limit, has no lack, created the world to provide your need, your miracle, your breakthrough, your blessing. But if you don't have the identity as a son and you have an identity as a slave, you will not perceive he has a new thing for you. Ephesians chapter 1 says we are adopted into the family of God. Adopted means you're picked out. When my kids came, I couldn't choose if they had hair or no hair, blonde or dark hair. I couldn't choose their personality because they came as they were. But when you're adopted, I'll pick you. I want that one. So we should never have some insecurity in the body of Christ with who am I? I'm nobody. No, you're picked out. You're chosen by God Himself. You're adopted into His family. But if you don't perceive it, you won't live it. Ephesians chapter 2, 6 says we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. The problem is too many Christians don't live seated, they live defeated. And the reason why they live defeated is because they don't perceive anyone who is in Christ as a new creation. So they let their circumstance dominate their sonship and their daughtership. That doesn't mean the circumstances aren't real. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I walk through it. I don't live there. I walk through it. But Psalm 23 verse 5 says, but you prepare a place before me in the presence of my enemies. Enemies are never people. The devil's your enemy. Lack is your enemy. Fear is your enemy. Anger is your enemy. Sickness is your enemy. And God says, I'll prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemy. I'll anoint your head with oil. Your cup will overflow. flow. And I am so good that as you step into the newness, I'll have surely goodness and mercy following you all the days of your life as you dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God is wanting to do a new thing. But a new thing needs a new mindset. Romans 12, don't be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we got to let go of some old thinking to step into the newness. And you are a new creation, so you have the ability to let it go. See, the problem with the children of Israel, they left Egypt, but Egypt didn't get out of them. Their destiny wasn't the wilderness. And their destiny actually wasn't just getting out of slavery. Their destiny was the promised land. But because they didn't change their thinking and they thought like they thought in Egypt instead of thought like they should be thinking in the promised land, in Jericho, they lived in this place of the in-between. And most Christians live in their place of Jericho, Jericho, Egypt, Jericho, Egypt, depending on what circumstance and what giant they face that day. But I'm here to tell you, you are more than a conqueror. I'm here to tell you, you are the head and you're not the tail. I'm here to tell you, you're above and not beneath. I'm here to tell you, everywhere your foot treads is your inheritance. I'm here to tell you, you will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. I'm here to tell you, as you tithe and you give, God will rebuke the devourer and open the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that you won't be able to contain it. I'm here to tell you, there'll be no building that is big enough to contain the church in this city. I'm here to declare over your life, your businesses are blessed, your family are blessed, your generations are blessed. Why? Because he does a new thing, and because you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Hey! But sometimes we need our antenna, our perception antenna healed, because we've allowed the old to break it. We need God to come back into that renewal, that new creation, that I get that new creation antenna. You know, remember, I heard people say this over the years, new Christians come in, they believe for everything, and then the older Christians go, well, you'll learn one day, it's not as good. No, it should be better. Just because life is a challenge doesn't mean you can be defeated by life. You can defeat life. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He comes to give you life and life more abundantly. That doesn't mean you don't go through trials and tribulations, but in the trials and tribulations, you are a new creation. Paul is in prison writing the 2/3 of the New Testament. Why? Because the prison wasn't leading him. It was his Savior that was leading him. And he wrote so that we could live in the newness. I've gone over time. We've got another service to go to. But would you lift your hands to heaven all over every campus? So I want you to come into agreement with this word. God, you're going to do a new thing in me. So today, would you pray after me? Jesus, today, I believe that you are declaring today that you are doing a new thing. And I thank you that I'm a new creation. And so I ask you to give me your perception, a spirit of wisdom and revelation, so I can walk towards the promises of God. And I say yes and amen to that in the name of Jesus. And if you believe that, give God a shout.
Thank you for listening to the Audacious Church podcast. For more information, visit audaciouschurch.com.